Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
Welcome to this deep dive presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
Glad to be here.
Now, at the Bureau, we really try to get a full understanding of cyber reflections.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, all of the diagnostics, like the contextual, informational, emotional, cognitive, and geopolitical influences of cyber threats.
So kind of like a holistic approach.
Exactly. And today, we're going to use all those tools to dive deep into the pro-Palestine hackers movement.
The PPHM.
Yep, the PPHM. And, you know, they've been making waves since they appeared back in October 2023.
They've certainly been busy.
Yeah, and what makes them so intriguing is that they're decentralized.
Geographically dispersed, no clear hierarchy.
Right, it's not like a traditional organization with a leader or a headquarters.
It's more like a collective, united by their shared ideology.
So their power comes from that shared ideology.
Absolutely. It's what binds them together and drives their actions.
And that ideology is, of course, support for the Palestinian cause.
Exactly. Their attacks are a direct response to events, real or perceived injustices, you know.
So there's a motive, a very clear motive behind their actions.
Definitely. It's not random chaos. It's very strategic.
Okay. But their attacks seem to be getting a lot more sophisticated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're using some pretty advanced tools these days.
Like what?
Well, there's this thing called Iron Wind.
Iron Wind.
Yeah. It's a phishing kit that allows them to steal logins and gain access.
Access to what?
To all sorts of sensitive systems, you know, anything they can get their hands on.
I see. And then there's, what was it, Donut?
Ah, yes, Donut. It's a type of malware that lets them take control of infected computers.
So they're not just defacing websites anymore. They're actually getting inside systems.
That's right. And they're even targeting critical infrastructure.
No way.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, they've been linked to EMPOT, a tool that can disrupt power grids and other vital services.
That's scary. Imagine the real-world impact if they managed to disrupt a power grid.
It'd be chaos. And then there's DDoSha, you know? Yeah. It's a tool they use for these huge distributed denial-of-service attacks.
So they can essentially shut down websites and online services at will.
Yeah, they can overwhelm servers with traffic and make them inaccessible.
But it's not just brute force, right? They're also using more subtle tactics, like emotional intelligence.
Right. That's a big part of their strategy.
How so?
Well, they craft their messages very carefully to make people feel a sense of injustice, solidarity.
Oh, I get it. So they're playing on people's emotions to gain support.
Exactly. They know what buttons to push to make people feel angry, sympathetic to their cause.
It's like a form of psychological warfare.
In a way, yeah. They're tapping into empathy, exploiting that for their own goals.
It's quite clever, actually.
Devious, you might say. And they're not working alone, you know? They've got allies.
Oh, yeah. Like who?
Well, they're part of a larger coalition called the Holy League, which includes around 70 anti-Western hacktivist groups.
70 groups? That's a huge network.
It is. And they're sharing resources, tactics, all sorts of things.
So it's a coordinated effort. It's not just a bunch of lone wolves.
Not at all. And they're not limited to just this one coalition either.
They're branching out.
Yeah, they've been known to collaborate with other hacktivist groups, too.
So, like, they're constantly expanding their network and influence.
That's right. And they're always looking for new ways to compromise systems. They use this tool called Mimikatz.
Mimikatz, what's that?
It's designed to extract passwords and other sensitive data from compromised machines.
So they're not just after disruption, they're also after information.
Exactly. And don't forget about their use of spyware like Finikite.
Oh, right. I read something about that. It targets iPhones, right?
That's the one. It allows them to steal data, monitor activity, potentially even spread disinformation.
It's scary to think that our own devices could be used against us like that.
It's a real threat. And it underscores the importance of being vigilant about our digital security.
Okay, so we've established that the PPHM is technologically advanced, strategically minded, and skilled at exploiting human vulnerabilities.
They're a force to be reckoned with, for sure.
But who exactly are their targets? I mean, what types of organizations are they going after?
Well, they seem to focus on critical infrastructure, government websites, media outlets, financial institutions.
So basically, anyone they perceive as being aligned with Israel.
You could say that. They're trying to exert pressure, disrupt operations.
And geographically, are their attacks limited to a specific region?
Not at all. They've hit targets in France, Israel, the United States, India, Australia, the UK, Canada, even Ukraine.
Wow, that's a global reach. So Given all this, what are the experts saying are the most probable scenarios? What should we be prepared for?
Well, one thing that's definitely on their radar is exploiting vulnerabilities in the energy and telecom sectors.
So more disruptions like the power grid example we talked about earlier?
Possibly, yeah. They want to cause chaos, instability. And another likely scenario involves phishing campaigns targeting smartphones.
Smartphones? Why smartphones?
Well, think about all the sensitive information people store on their phones. Government officials, healthcare workers.
Oh, I see. They could steal that data, use it for all sorts of nefarious purposes.
Exactly. Disinformation, blackmail, you name it.
So not just disruption, but information warfare as well.
That's right. It's a multi-pronged attack.
Okay, that's pretty unsettling. But what about the worst-case scenarios? What are we talking about there?
Well, the most dangerous hypotheses involve a serious escalation in their tactics. Imagine them launching attacks on industrial control systems in, say, the transportation sector.
Oh, wow, that sounds terrifying. What kind of impact are we talking about?
Think about it. Ports shut down, airports at a standstill, supply chains completely disrupted. It'd be catastrophic.
And the other dangerous scenario, what does that look like?
Well, that one focuses on the healthcare sector. Imagine if they were able to spread malware through, say, a fake health app.
People would download it without realizing the danger?
Exactly. And once they have that access, they could disrupt emergency care, like sensitive medical records, potentially even cause loss of life.
This is all pretty disturbing. I mean, it really highlights the growing threat of cyber warfare.
Absolutely. We need to be prepared for anything. It really is a new kind of cyber threat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just about the technical stuff anymore, is it? It's like there's a whole other layer to it.
Right, like we were saying before, the emotional intelligence piece.
Yeah, weaponizing empathy, manipulating people's perceptions, it's wild.
Exactly. It's gone beyond just trying to break into systems and steal data. I mean, the PPHM, they're actually using these cyber attacks to try to influence public opinion.
To change the narrative, basically.
Right. You know, it's almost like a digital version of that whole hearts and minds thing.
It's not just our systems they're attacking. It's our minds.
Precisely. And they're really good at using symbolism and emotional stories to get their message across.
And timing their attacks to coincide with real world events.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That way they can amplify their message and get people to feel sympathetic to the Palestinian cause.
So it's as much about how they frame their actions as it is about the technical aspects of the attacks.
Absolutely. They know how to craft messages that resonate with people, and then they use social media to spread those messages and rally support.
That makes them even more dangerous,
right,
doesn't it? I mean, it's one thing to protect yourself from a virus or a hacker, but how do you protect yourself from an idea?
Yeah, that's the challenge, isn't it? They're preying on our biases, our tendency to see things in black and white.
So we need to be more aware of how our own minds work.
Exactly. They're using psychology to manipulate our perceptions and influence our behavior. We need to understand those tactics if we want to counter them.
Okay, so we've talked about why they do it and how they do it. But let's go back to who they're targeting for a minute. We've mentioned critical infrastructure, government websites, media outlets, and financial institutions.
Right.
But what about the people within those organizations? Are they going after specific individuals?
It seems like they're focusing on people who are in positions of power.
Like government officials.
Yeah, or journalists, executives in key industries, even healthcare workers with access to sensitive patient data.
So basically, they're going after anyone who can either help spread their message or who has access to systems they want to disrupt.
Exactly. They're not just attacking randomly. They're picking their targets very carefully.
This is starting to sound like something out of a spy movie.
In some ways, it is. We're talking about information warfare, espionage, psychological manipulation.
And the stakes are high.
They are. The potential consequences of these attacks, both in terms of the economy and in terms of human life, are very serious.
So what can we do about it? I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, I think the most important thing is to realize that we need to move beyond just focusing on the technical aspects of cybersecurity.
So it's not enough to just have strong passwords and the latest antivirus software.
It's a good start, but it's not enough. We need to start thinking about the human element as well.
What do you mean?
We need to understand the cognitive and emotional factors that make us vulnerable to these attacks.
So things like critical thinking, being able to spot fake news, being aware of our own biases.
Exactly. We need to be more aware of our own vulnerabilities and how they can be exploited.
That almost sounds like we need a whole new set of skills to navigate the digital world.
In a way, we do. We need to be more discerning about the information we consume, more skeptical of the messages we see, more aware of the tactics that are being used to manipulate us.
It sounds like a tall order.
It is. But it's absolutely essential if we want to protect ourselves and our organizations.
So it's not just about technology anymore. It's about understanding human psychology, the psychology of cyber warfare.
Precisely. We need a more holistic approach to cybersecurity, one that takes into account not just the technical aspects, but also the human, the emotional, and the geopolitical.
Well, this has been a really eye-opening conversation. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface, but we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. And it's important to remember that this is just the beginning. The cyber threat landscape is constantly changing, and we need to keep learning and adapting if we want to stay ahead of the curve.
So what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this deep dive?
Stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay engaged. The future of our digital world depends on it.
I think that's a great message to end on. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.